Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This is Issues 2020. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Sedgwick County Health Director Adrian Byrne. Welcome to Issues 2020.
Good morning, and thank you.
You appeared on this program just a month ago to talk about the pandemic, and I thought we might bring you back for any new information that might be available. So thanks for being with us this morning. First of all, I want to ask you a question about Dr. Gerald Nims and his role in dealing with the outbreak. Just exactly who is this guy and what's his role?
Well, Dr. Nims is the dean of KU School of Medicine, and he is our health officer. He is an infectious disease doctor. And prior to COVID-19, we would have weekly meetings with him just to look at what was going on in our epidemiology program, what we were seeing in the community as far as infectious diseases. And then he would also come over to our TB clinic and staff TB cases. So, Dr. Mins has been part of our everyday life for a while, or at least weekly. Now it can be 2-3 times a day. So he is very involved. And so he kind of oversees. He's not one that's involved with any investigations. Like I've seen written in articles, Dr. Mins does not do that. He's just our health officer and is involved in overseeing what we do.
Have you known him long?
Yes. Dr. Mins has been our health officer for a number of years, maybe 8 or so. And he's right next door, so it's very helpful because he's very accessible.
Are we lucky to have this man? He seems like he's pretty good.
we are extremely fortunate to have Dr. Mintz. He's a gentle soul. You know, he's going to let people know what his opinion is and what his recommendations are. He's not going to fight about it, but he's going to let people know what, in regards to infectious diseases, the direction that we need to go.
So he's been giving us good information then.
Yes. But he's the first to say that there's no real specialist or expert with COVID-19 because it's only been in the United States since 2020.
Okay.
So, we're all learning, and it's still a moving target. I mean, just last week, the Center for Disease Control changed the guidelines where instead of staying home 7 days from onset of COVID-19 symptoms, it's now 10 days from onset because they're just learning that people remain with symptoms longer and more contagious. Mm. So, there's still a lot that we're learning about COVID-19.
Well, you've been working closely with many people in authority, including the Sedgwick County Commission. Can you describe the level of cooperation you've seen during this pandemic?
Well, I have worked with the city of Wichita and the council members, and Everyone's very supportive, and the city wants to be on the same page with, for example, playgrounds. And so they've been great partners, and our commissioners are, you know, they were waiting to see what the governor's orders were going to be, and so are you know, naturally supportive of following through with what the governor has put into place. And next Monday could be phase two. Not sure we're quite ready for that. But, yes, it's been as much as possible, because there's a whole lot going on with the community and politics and needing to get back to work. It's a very different time. But I think that people are being as supportive as they can be.
So exactly what is phase two? What happens?
Well, phase two in the governor's plan. And the governor's plan is fairly loose in regards to the amount of people, like in restaurants. Prior to this, when we first started and we had that gathering ban of 10, you know, 50 and then 10, only 50 could be in a restaurant, only 50 could be in church. Well, when the governor's plan kicked in a week ago Monday, there can be a group of 10 people, preferably from the same household, but there can be a group of 10 people 6 feet apart. So you can have a whole lot of groups of 10 in a church, in a restaurant, as long as that 6 feet can be maintained. So the challenge is people, you know, honoring that. So phase two moves it to 30 people, so that there can be groups of 36 feet apart, and would open up nail salons and hair salons and you know, barber shops and masseuses and all those people that are anxious to get back to work because they don't necessarily have any kind of sick leave or insurance is all on their own. Mm-hmm. So that would be the biggest change with phase two. I think is going to be a gathering size expanding from 10 to 30.
Looking back, was the county prepared for such an unusual health crisis? As prepared as you could be under the circumstances?
I'd say, you know, we have been fortunate. We're fortunate at Sedgwick County Health Department because even though we could use more epidemiologists, and the county's been great with adding those positions during this time for us, we have a group of EPIs that are always looking at what's going on in the country and the state, and we're used to infectious diseases being reported and having to do contact investigations. So that's not new. And so we're fortunate in that way, where some of our smaller communities and health departments, they just don't have the staff. They may have a total of 5 people in their health department, where the health department director is also the WIC nurse and is also the immunizations person. So, you know, we have been fortunate where we are used to investigating infectious diseases. Now, this was a little bit different, and there's no roadmap for COVID-19. So, you know, we're all learning as we go, but we know how to do contact investigations. We know how to isolate people. We know how to quarantine people. So those are important components that we are familiar with.
Let's do a little background. You know, like I said, we talked about a month ago, but tell us basically what the coronavirus is and what COVID-19 is.
So there are 7 coronaviruses that humans can get, and COVID-19 is a new coronavirus. So the common cold is a type of coronavirus. So coronaviruses aren't new. They've been around close to 60 years with different ones. I mean, the Middle Eastern respiratory syndrome and SARS, they are coronaviruses that have been more recent. And so COVID-19 is the newest one that the belief is originated in China there was an animal, possibly a bat, and you know, the way their open market is, all types of animals, wild animals, and slaughtering and whatnot, that it's believed that it jumped from an animal to a person and then created this novel virus. So it has been in the United States since the very beginning of the year, and never have four or five months seemed to span over such a long period of time, that I think everyone would agree that COVID-19 is a totally different time period. Like, is it Monday? Is it Saturday? I mean, there's just, you know what I mean, talking about.
So what are the symptoms to look for? And I know sometimes there are no symptoms, but what are the ones we need to be aware of, you think?
Well, in the very beginning, it was primarily fever of 100.3 or 4 and above, dry cough, and difficulty breathing. But, you know, those were the very symptoms in the very beginning when we didn't know very much. And if someone's having difficulty breathing, it has progressed, unless someone already has respiratory problems or lung disease. Well, now we know that there can be a loss of taste and smell. There can be diarrhea with some. So there's a whole lot of other symptoms that we're learning about as this disease is in our communities longer. So if anybody is feeling ill at all, they need to call 211 and let 211 know that they're ill and that they'd like to be tested for COVID-19, and there is no out-of-pocket expense to COVID-19. And I'm realizing that where I knew that in the beginning, I didn't do a good job of letting everyone know that there was no cost. And so as of a week and a half or so ago, I was still hearing that people were wondering if there was a cost. Oh. So there is no out-of-pocket cost whatsoever. Someone calls 211, they'll screen them and then connect them with our nurse triage line. And we will further screen and then get them set up with an appointment at our drive-thru.
You're listening to Issues 2020 on the Entercom radio stations, and our guest is Sedgwick County Health Director Adrian Byrne. Describe, if you will, the response and help the county has received from the state.
Well, the state gets assets through the federal government when you have a state of emergency, as far as masks and tests, test supplies. And, you know, we all know that all over the country, it's not just Kansas. All over the country, there's been shortages of what people hear, PPE, or personal protective equipment, with the N95 respirator masks and gowns and sampling supplies to be able to then test people. Slowly but surely, yesterday we actually got in a shipment of 5,000 swabs. Never have we gotten that many in at one time. So we are sitting really good in regards to being able to sample people. And yesterday we had 140 people in our drive-thru. We will be setting up a drive-thru the Saturday before Memorial Day because we're closed on that Monday, and I didn't want to go 3 days without testing. So we will finally have one on a Saturday. But it's slowly coming in. There's not as much of a stockpile as everyone would like, but the first responders have a good, you know, 2, 3, 4 weeks of supply of masks and everything that they need. But we still have someone that is managing all of that, because when it comes in, the person still, John Jarvis, is looking at his list and seeing who next on the list is eligible for, you know, these N95s or these surgical masks. So the state has been giving us kits so that we're able to sample and then send those to KDG to be run as well at no charge.
Tell us what you know about the work to find an effective treatment for COVID-19.
I know that there's work going on to find a treatment. The focus has been just as much on a vaccine. And I know when it first came to the states in January, the discussion was that it would be 12 to 18 months. I haven't heard anything other than that, so that would get us next summer. I know there's a push to get one out sooner rather than later, but it's also important that we don't cut too many corners off the, you know, FDA, the FDA approval process change. I know they're also working on an antiviral and have given some antivirals. So, like, the flu has an antiviral. So if people get the flu, they can go to the doctor and they'll prescribe them something like Tamiflu, and that reduces the length and severity of the illness. So they are coming up with antivirals for and testing more for COVID-19.
Why does it take so long to bring vaccines online, Adrian?
Well, there's a lot of tests that have to be gone through to make sure that it's safe. And so the Federal Drug Administration, they have just a lot of rounds of processes to go through before it can, you know, they have all these drug trials that they need to go through before they get to the place where they feel that it's safe for humans.
Many who are listening to this have spent weeks at home in this shutdown. What encouragement can you offer them?
Well, we are fortunate, thank God, that we're not like New York. I can't even imagine being in a state like that. COVID-19 is still in our community. We have really excellent physicians here, and not everyone has been taking this seriously or abiding by the social distancing and masks, but I know a lot of other people have, and I think that's made a difference. And so it is okay for people to venture out a little bit. Those that have chronic conditions or pre-existing compromised immune systems, it's really important for them to still be very, very careful. But cloth masks, you know, in the beginning, it was believed that really don't wear any kind of a surgical mask unless you're ill, because that keeps people from getting ill from you. Well, it's shown that those surgical masks and more the cloth masks that so many people are making, that can provide a little bit of protection, not only from our own germs getting out, but protection from something getting in. So it's okay to go out a little bit, but wear a mask and just be careful with the 6 feet distancing. And one of the most important things is keep the fingers away from the eyes, nose, and mouth. But we are slowly but surely starting to loosen things up. We just still have to be very careful.
Many have rediscovered the outdoors during the same old.
I see that, people walking and riding their bikes, and it's good to see people outdoors.
If there's a good part of it, that's probably it. Then some are experiencing mental and emotional challenges. That's very real.
Yeah.
I'm not just cooking that up. That's real.
It has been. I've seen that since the very beginning, when we got our incident command system structure going in March, and reached out to partners, that there was a high level of anxiety. It's not as much as there is now, but if you have a lot of anxiety, you don't function in quite the same level cognitively, where things need to be a little bit more simplistic to really grasp a hold of it. But there's been a lot of anxiety, and CompCare, the crisis line, is there for people to call. It has been a really challenging time, and then when you add financial stressors on top of it, it's just awful.
Because many have lost their jobs. Some of those jobs may not come back. Talk a little bit about the pressure to get businesses back to 100%. There's a lot of pressure there.
There is. There's a lot of pressure there. And, you know, I can't say that wasn't part of the decision-making for the governor, as I'm sure it was. It's been devastating to our economy, to our community, to our families. And it's important to look at everything as far as the weight of what could happen to our community if we do open things up too quickly and we have more of a surge of COVID-19. but we also know that people do need to get back to work, and so that's why it's so important for employers to provide masks, whether they be masks that they're buying, like the homemade masks, because most of those are very effective as long as they're two-ply cotton, and N95 for those workers that can't be that far apart, like in an assembly line, and just have hand sanitizer and just use social distancing as much as possible and stagger lunch breaks and make sure that the common rooms are distanced. So it is important. It's important for everybody to be back to work, not just financially, but also mentally, to have some semblance of normalcy. But I don't think we're going to see that for a while.
Yeah, what are the chances then, you see a new pandemic later this year if people don't, if they're not careful? Now, there's been talk about this really helpful tracing where you get a group of people and if something breaks out, you go and get this group and trace them. That might be effective, right?
Well, you know, there's the contact tracing that's already going on whenever there is a positive case. And, you know, right now, in the beginning when we didn't have enough supplies, we could only test positive. We could only test ill people. Well, now we are testing anyone that is a close contact, whether they're ill or not, because most aren't, of someone that is positive. And so the more that we do that, the more people that are positive, even if they're asymptomatic, we can get out of the mainstream. So, I'm not quite sure about the second wave that people talk about coming in. And part of that may be that flu season is going to be here before we know it, which is August. And having flu and COVID-19 in the community at the same time could be devastating.
So will the flu shot give you any protection at all on COVID?
Not COVID, because it's a different virus from the flu strain.
Yeah.
But it's going to be more important than ever, particularly for a more high at risk. But everybody, because even if you're not at risk for complications, you might be around someone that is at risk for complications to get the flu shot. That's going to be more important than ever this year.
Now, talk about those in the medical and other public service fields and their efforts in regard to what's been going on the past few weeks.
Oh, I'll tell you what, we just have heroes all over the place that are so dedicated, working long hours. And I know that the hospitals have less people because they're afraid to go in until they're at a critical place, which is frightening. The hospitals have done an extremely good job of being ready, and it's important for anyone to go to the hospital that needs to go there. But people on the front line, I know health staff, our disease investigators, you know, we have some working 12, 14-hour days, and just because protecting the community is so important. So it has been a real partnership with our safety net clinics, like, you know, Health Corps, and we also have Grace Med and Hunter Health, and our hospitals just all working together to do the best we can with keeping the public informed and keeping them safe.
There was a level of anxiety at first. Well, our medical facilities are going to be overwhelmed by this, and they're not going to be able to handle it. But it looks to me like they've done a pretty good job.
They have. Our systems have not been overwhelmed with COVID-19. You know, now they're really struggling with people coming in so critical that they have to go to the ICU because they've waited so long because there's such fear. But it is safe to go to the hospital. It is safe to go to the doctor. There's so many precautions that all businesses are taking. This is probably one of the safest times there has ever been to actually go into a hospital or go into any business because of the amount of extra attention that's being put into sanitizing things.
So people know what to do, I guess. Wash your hands,
wear the
mask, 6-foot separation, and that just keep doing the same things we're doing, and we ought to be maybe we'll get through this thing. What do you think?
We are going to get through it. There's no doubt we're going to get through it. And some positive things are going to come out of it, like more people telecommuting. Mm-hmm. You know, that you don't have to be in the office to do your job. So there will be some positives. But yes, we will see the end of this. We are going to get through this. Here it is May, and we started this in the U.S. in January, here in Kansas in March, because we had our first case in Sibley County in March, just two short months ago.
All right. Well, listen, thank you so much for being with us. And again, best of luck to you and all the folks down there at the county that are trying to keep us safe. We appreciate it and appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you.
As always.
Bye.
Okay. Our guest is Sedgwick County Health Director Adrian Byrne. And that's all for this edition of Issues 2020. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now. And what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.